Podcast. Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
What's up, Kiss Army?
And listen, Jody's not here today, so you know we have a pinch hitter. Our pinch hitter is the guy who knocks it out of the park, you know, whenever we bring him in, and that's what we want. And we've got our old buddy Brent all the way from Houston.
Hello, PRC listeners. Hey, Joe, I need an awesome intro like Hollywood or something. That's your job before I come on next time, to give me an interesting, amazing moniker like Sonny.
I'm on it, I promise. It would be, listen, I can tell you this. One of the most amazing things in the world was hearing Gene Simmons call him Hollywood Pooney. It was the funniest thing
ever. I laughed till I cried.
Yes, it was so amazing. All right, so listen, before we tell you about who our guest is, we have the Kiss Expo in Atlanta with Vinnie Vincent this week coming up. So when you guys are listening to this, it's Monday. We have just a few days to go. That means Friday I will be meeting Vinnie at the in the first VIP, and then Saturday for the whole expo, we'll be there with a table. So if you are going to be in Atlanta, come and say hello to us. I know you will. You send us tons of letters. We appreciate it. We're going to have some swag, right, Brent?
Yes, indeed.
It's a surprise. We're not going to tell you everything that we're going to have, but we're going to have some swag.
Oh, all right. Okay, listen. Let's go and have some fun with the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yeah!
For what feels like 2 or 3 years now, I've been trying to get one of two guests on my show. And by my show, I mean our show. and just because, you know, we have the expo, it just seems to work out really well. It's a perfect time. And I know most of you guys out there have the book Kiss Alive Forever, and we have one of the writers, Kirk Gooch. How you doing?
Hey, great to be here. How are you guys?
Absolutely great. We're super excited to have you here because you have, well, Sonny, go ahead and tell your story about the book.
So I call it the Bible for a couple of reasons. One, I just started getting into podcasting. I've always been a Kiss fan, but there's a lot, you know, there's research involved, and your book helps me research a lot. But the other way I use it is when somebody tells me that they're a Kiss fan, I'll say, "Oh yeah, you ever seen them live? Oh yeah, I saw them on X date." Then I go to the Bible, and if that's not right, I call them a liar.
Great.
Obviously, he's overstating what he really does because Sonny is a sweetheart. But, or do you really? I wouldn't imagine.
But I love it. I think the research you guys put together on this book is just amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we did 7 years and 75 grand putting together what we felt would be a book that if you walked into a bookstore and saw it and you were a Kiss fan, you picked it up, you simply would not be able to put it down without purchasing it.
No, that is an absolute true statement. I have mine that I purchased from you guys. I want to say here in Atlanta. Did you guys do an expo here?
We did back in 02, I believe, or 03.
Okay. So, and I tell the story about that expo all the time. And you guys were here for that. Bill Acoyne was at this expo, I think.
He was. He was up on stage with us for a while.
Oh, that is amazing. And Eric Singer was supposed to be here, but they wound up doing the Olympics, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they wound up having to do the Olympics, and then because he couldn't make it, he called in, and then Gene got on the phone, and I remember the promoter saying, "When are you going to do an expo?" And he said, "When are you going to fork out some cash?" Which was really funny. But I met you guys at that. I still have your book. I will tell you that I have read your book so much that it is destroyed. And just from, you know, constantly going in and looking up dates and reading all the stories, you know, and I have probably single-handedly through eBay sold 50 or 100 of these. Here's a great question for you. Can you believe these things go for $100 on eBay?
I know. That was one of the reasons we decided to put it back in print after all these years. But, yeah, they go for $100 to $200 sometimes on eBay, and it's been that way for about 8 years now, so it's been pretty consistent.
That is amazing. When somebody said, oh, yeah, you can get that book for about $100, I was like, really? That man, that must be blowing your mind. Now, you did, and please forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm going back. I'm thinking about another show that you guys did. You did put it out like on like Kindle or something like that with some extra stuff?
We put it out on iBooks, right. And I think it was just iBooks, but it's available through iTunes if you're an Apple guy, or not an Apple guy. It's available through iBooks if you are an Apple person. That was in May of last year. And I don't think it had any extra stuff. It had a little bit of updates. But when we went to do the print edition in the fall, we wound up doing about 150 to 200, just little minor corrections that the publisher had screwed up, or we had missed. There was a creature show that was missing from the original book that we had the information. We just somehow left it out. So all that's in there now, and what you see now, the new version, the 2018 version, is what we have, the book we always wanted to release back in 2002.
That is awesome. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. I do want to get into the – I know you've probably told the story 100 times, and I apologize. I do want to get into what made you guys decide to do this. But since people are listening, I want to make sure that they know at the expo, you're going to have a limited number of copies of this book, right?
That's right. We're going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have about 50, and maybe we're hoping to get about another 20 copies, so we might have as many as 70 copies, and we expect them to go very fast. So, if this is going to air before the expo, yeah, if people are going to go, I would definitely make getting it a priority.
Yeah, I'm imagining that a lot of the people that are going, if you're going to be there Friday, are you meeting Vinny on Friday?
Yes.
You are. And will the book be for sale right then?
Yes.
You're going to sell them all.
Yes. Probably.
I really, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm buying one. Now, is there anything other than the cover that's different about it?
Yeah. Like I said, there's about 150 to 200 very minor changes. When the book came out originally, Jeff and I did not have the chance to really proof it as much as we would have liked, and There were words that had commas in the middle of them, and words that were misspelled, or somebody's name was misspelled, or we've since figured out a certain song was played in the set list. So, we did about 150 to 200 minor corrections. But at some point, we will go and completely update it with all the new set lists and all the new information that's come out. But to give you an idea of just how thorough our research was, it's been 15 years since the book first came out, and outside of the Creatures Amarillo show, which I mentioned we forgot to put in, that we still have yet to find one show that we missed.
Wow. That is.
We figured with the internet, something would have surfaced by now, but just nothing has ever come to pass.
Well, the one thing I can tell you guys is that you guys did a wonderful job on this book. The pictures are most of the time things I've never seen before. I love the pictures. Like, there's one picture in particular that always sticks with me. It's Gene in that alternate costume from, like, Dynasty.
Right.
Yeah, that I mean, as a matter of fact, I've looked at that picture 100 times and went, why didn't he go with this? I really love that costume.
So, Kurt, as you guys are getting all this information, you're in print, you go to print it, did anybody come back to you and go, you know, before you got it to print, oh my God, what I told you was not accurate, or you found something that you thought was really cool and you found out it was completely inaccurate before you printed it?
There was nothing that came back that was inaccurate as far as people telling us something. And even then, we were pretty good about not taking one person's word for fact. So we would always try to get a second or a third person to confirm a story before we put it in there. So there's very little that we got wrong other than just, maybe we put the 17th when it was the 18th or some little typo like that. But sure of that, there wasn't really anything where anybody came back. But there were things that we found almost on a daily basis that would blow our minds. And one thing that stood out is I had a friend of mine, and he had taped the second show of the Creatures of the Night Tour, never bothered to tell me. I had an interview with Paul from, I can't remember where the source was, but he was in Texas doing rehearsals, and they asked him, how many songs are you doing off the new album? And I think he said six, and we only had five in the set list, and so I knew there was another song that was being rehearsed that we didn't know what it was. As it turned out, it was Keep Me Coming, and until that was published in Kiss Alive Forever, nobody had any clue that Keep Me Coming had ever been performed live.
Whoa. Wow. That's pretty cool. You know, was there, as you guys were doing the research for the book, what's the one thing that sticks out in your mind that you learned that you went, what the hell? Or, you know, you were like, you couldn't believe it.
About a week before we were done and finished, we wound up getting about 100 pages of 1974 itineraries that we had not previously seen. And these itineraries, you call them that, but they were like day sheets that would get sent to the people, you almost correct on a daily basis. And one roadie had thought enough to save all these things. And on there, we found that there was a TV appearance from March of 74 that Kiss did in Chevy Chase, Maryland. And they performed at least one song, but possibly as many as three or four songs on a local TV show in March 74 in Washington, D.C. that nobody had ever heard of, nobody had ever mentioned, and there it was on an itinerary. So we, of course, started looking into it. We found people that worked on the show that confirmed Kiss were there. We found the host of the show. And consequently, the master tapes stuck around until about 1987, at which point the station changed ownership, and they literally threw the 2-inch master tape in the garbage in 1987. Man. And so to this day, no one's ever seen 1 second of footage from that TV appearance.
Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, yeah.
I can't imagine that if I did any kind of a TV, had any kind of a station, I would ever throw any of the footage away, let alone, you know, just because who knows what's on it. I guess they just went ahead and did it. Brent.
Kurt, first off, I got to tell you, your book is known to many people who know me, not as they don't even know what the book is about, but it's referred to as, hey, what's that book that you keep in a bag? Because my first copy of your book has been so overhandled and well thumbed, it's just come to pieces.
That's
and
awesome.
I literally have it like sealed in a bag to hold it together. And whenever I get it out, it's more like unfolding a map because it just goes everywhere.
That's awesome.
You should see my copy.
I'm sure,
I bet.
I'm sure. Yours is probably all marked up as well. Well, I did. So then, of course, you know, one day I was looking at my Kiss shelf and went, you know, that looks pathetic sitting there in a bag. So I'm one of those people who paid, you know, $125 off of eBay for a copy that had never been opened and has still not been opened. That one's sitting on the shelf.
That's awesome.
I open up the bag and pull my pages out whenever I want to reference something. So yeah, I thought that, and that might be a great way to market, you know, a future version, just print it with no spine, you know, the book in a bag.
Book in a bag.
Yeah, no kidding. I've actually seen fans take page cutters and put it together in a spiral notebook.
Smart. Very cool.
Right.
Well, my dream version of this book, being that Joe likes to make fun of Sonny and me for sort of being these note-taking, number-crunching nerds, and I imagine that you've got some of that in you just looking at the detail and format and consistency of this book. My dream version is a fully clickable digital version of this book where you can, you know, pull up everything by opening band or everything by a city, state, look at just one tour, every show that had attendance over 12,000, just whatever. To be able to sort of cross-reference all the data in that way would be that'd be an amazing project someday. But of course, I'm probably just dreaming. But that would be really cool for us hardcore Kiss nerds.
That would be cool. That sounds more of a. At one point, we were going to do an app version of the book, and we actually got down through coding before we 86'd the idea. And that's probably where that would have come to pass if we were going to do that at some point.
Well, mainly my curiosity is just super piqued. I guess my little bit of understanding, maybe from another show you were on, is that you, one of your other jobs other than as an author is that you do maybe rights or clearances or clip licensing. Is that right?
That's what it's called, clip licensing. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and so is that sort of, are you using your resources and talent in that field to put together this this secret awesome promo video we're being teased with?
Well, sort of. It's interesting. I don't know if you guys remember, but about 4 years ago, there was quite a big online hoopla about a Kiss documentary that was going to be made called You Wanted the Best, You Got the Best. Do you remember this?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, when that happened, I found out about that very early in the production, and even before it was announced, and wound up submitting hours of footage to these guys. And I went to my boss and said, look, we have an opportunity here to make a lot of money because no one else even knows this is in production. I know where all these Kiss masters are. I just need the time and the money to go get them, and then we can license the footage. And they said, great, go for it. So for 6 long months, I literally had the greatest job in the history of the world, which was being paid to travel around and find lost Kiss masters all over the world. And it was unbelievable.
That sounds amazing.
So a lot of the footage that you're going to see in Atlanta comes from the 6 months that I spent researching the You Wanted the Best documentary.
Whoa. And I guess the status of that is that it's is it completely dead or just shelved or?
Yeah, it's completely dead. It's completely dead, and I don't really know why, I think it settled on Paul's shoulders and that Paul did like it.
Okay. I wanted to ask, is there some, being that Vinny's kind of the theme of the expo, is there some cool Vinny stuff that we're going to be treated to in there?
There is, and I wish there was more. We only found 2 Vinny things, we found a bunch of Vinny things, but we only found 1 that was makeup. And so we stopped it with creatures. So there's going to be a 3-minute segment from Cleveland, Ohio, or Richfield, Ohio, at the Coliseum there in Cleveland. And there's some amazing live and backstage footage, including Vinny talking to the camera, that no one has ever seen before.
Wow.
So, so it's really cool.
How long is the video?
About 3 minutes.
Okay.
Oh. And there was one other thing that we found, but we weren't able to strike a deal for it, unfortunately, but we found about 3.5 minutes of 8mm footage from the Phoenix, Arizona creature show, shot from the front row. And if we had been able to do that, we'd been able to do a high-def transfer of it, but we just couldn't get the deal done in time for the convention, unfortunately.
So who had most of this stuff? Was this just in an archive, or was this something where, I mean, where do you go to find this stuff?
Literally, members of the opening bands, library sometimes, ex-wives, you just never know where something's going to turn up.
Wow.
And so, you know, we're to a point now where I don't know, you know, if anything comes out now, it's probably going to be from a TV news station because most of the other things Jeff and I have vetted over the years. So I don't know how much more we're going to see other than the fact that there are all these local news stations that have these archives on film and videotapes sitting around, and as time goes by, they're actually hiring companies to go in and digitize their archives. And so 20 years from now, I guarantee you, we're going to have a ton of stuff from the 70s and 80s that we don't have now. just because it's sitting in a warehouse somewhere on unlabeled tape.
Wow. Well, you know, a couple of things that I want to make sure as we go on that people that are listening that understand, if you can't make it to the expo and you're not going to be able to get a book, you know, one of the hopefully 70 that they have remaining, don't forget to go to iTunes. It's still on there, right?
It's still on there, you bet.
Still on iTunes. Go ahead and get the book. I promise it's not going to let you down. You've been on a few shows before, and we've listened to them. And I want to spend, of course, a bit of time on the book, but I also want to make sure that we work in what's going on this week with the expo. When I heard that you guys were going to be there, I got super excited because I knew something was going to be different. So the book is being released with a different cover. It's The Creatures Era, right, with Vinny and Mako.
That's correct.
This is a big deal. We have obviously all talked about what we thought when we heard Vinny was going to be coming to an expo. I guess what I want to know is what did you think?
Well, I was blown away. I didn't think it would happen. And when I heard about it, you know, I couldn't believe it. And I knew, you know, we've been wanting to put Kiss Alive Forever back in print, but we needed some kind of vehicle to really make it happen. And within 24 hours of them announcing this, I realized this would be the vehicle. So we had 1,000 books manufactured. Literally 940 of them are gone now, or 930 of them. And I mean, literally, all through Pledge Music, our campaign was very, very successful. And so we've got just a few left for Atlanta this weekend.
Man, this is so exciting. When you were putting all this together, did it put some stress on your lives? I mean, you're talking about like a good, you said 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years. Let me take you guys back to February 1996. The reunion had been announced unofficially, but by that point, you know, everybody knew it was a done deal. And I had met Jeff Seuss through a mutual friend on one of the AOL message boards, or the old Kiss Army message board that was on AOL for years and years. And Gene, of all people, was on there saying, hey, help Jeff. He's trying to build a list of all the Kiss concert dates. And so I met Jeff. We had a 7-hour phone call. And the next day, it was like, you know, well, forget giving this to Gene, let's do a book. So
nice.
We just decided to do a book, and at that time especially, I mean, Chris Lent's book wasn't out. There wasn't anything out. And then at the end of the Alive Worldwide tour, Chris Lent's book came out, and that was the first time that a really intensive, great Kiss book was finally available. We realized there was a huge market with the Kiss Army that was just not being fed. But now, I mean, look at it now. You get a new Kiss book every month, it seems like. It's incredible. But back then, I mean, we had gone 20 years, I think, 15 or 20 years between Kiss books. And all the Kiss books that had come out were kind of, you know, fluff pieces for the most part. And then finally, Chris Lent's book came out, which is magnificent, by the way. And then it was just usually uphill from there.
Yeah, there has been. I love the fact that you have a lot of these different authors and Kiss fans producing these books, like on their own dime, basically, mostly really to just to put out their own idea of what they thought about this band that changed their lives.
Yeah, it's incredible. There's not another band like this. I mean, with all due respect to somebody like Duran Duran, you don't see, 40 different Duran Duran books in print. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. Maybe with the Beatles, that might be the only exception. But other than that, there's nobody that does this like the Kiss Army. It's just incredible.
It really is. When was the first time you ever saw the band live, or what was your first experience seeing Kiss?
Believe it or not, I did not see Kiss until February 86 on the Asylum Tour in Norman, Oklahoma. I would have seen them on Lick It Up, and I would have seen them on Animalize, but they skipped my market on those tours. And so I missed. I was just a little too young to see Creatures. I didn't quite know what I was doing yet. So, I didn't see him till Asylum.
Wow. Still, that was a good show.
Oh, yeah. I love the Asylum.
Do you remember who's opening, or should I just open the book and see?
Oh, no, I know. It was Wasp.
Wasp, oh, baby.
Man, yeah. You got Wasp. I got Black and Blue.
Yeah, I love Black and Blue, too, so either band would have been great, but yeah, at that point, I probably would have preferred Wasp.
Oh, Wasp would have been, goodness gracious, that's awesome. And who, so now, I know this might be hard for you to say, but do you have a favorite member? Like, growing up, were you like, Gene is awesome, or Ace, or...
It always just kind of fluctuated with the wind, but, over time, I think Paul has really become the dominant member of the band, the saving force of the band. Paul's the one that's held that together. If it wasn't for him, I don't think there would even be a Kiss at this point.
Right.
Definitely Paul at this point.
I get it.
So there was talk about, you were working on a book about all of the, I'm going to call it video experiences, but it was more about any time they had been on like a TV show or movies or videos, and you were going to put something like that together. Are you still working on that?
Great question. Not a lot of people know. I'm impressed that you are aware of that. Yes, I work on that practically every day. It will come out at some point, but it's probably still 5 years away or more. We're definitely going to do Kiss Alive Forever 2 before we do that. But the book is meant to be an archive, like a Bible, of every second of Kiss moving image that exists from the beginning all the way up through Asylum. I had to draw a line somewhere, and I felt like there's a big difference between Asylum and Crazy Nights footage. And to me, Kiss kind of stops at Asylum to a degree. There's a huge, huge difference if you watch one of the one cams from the Asylum tour and versus a one cam on the Crazy Nights tour in the energy level. And not to mention the production and the set list. So there was just something about Asylum that I said, I'm going to do it up through this point. So I have this database, and it literally starts in 1968, which is the earliest known footage of a Kiss member, and goes all the way up through, I think up through like the Kiss Exposed era. And at some point, I will, publish that. And it also includes things like, where the master tapes are located, or who owns the masters. So that it's really like a licensing Bible, so that somebody that was going to produce a documentary on Kiss, it would save them hundreds of hours of research just because it would all be there.
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow. So let me ask you this, because on this show, we have a main topic when it comes to shows nobody has ever seen or heard or anything like that. And there's one show that we are constantly on the lookout for, okay? I'm going to just throw it out there and see if it rings a bell. What about the I guess it's the St. Louis Kite Festival?
Sure. St. Louis Kite Festival, interestingly enough, a photo surfaced about 10 years ago, and I had the photo, and I didn't even notice this. Somebody else pointed it out to me years after I had the photo. But there's a picture of a guy sitting in a tree with an 8mm film camera at the Kite Festival.
Wow.
Now, whether or not he would have been shooting Kiss or what was going on, who knows? But I do know that there's a guy in a tree out there somewhere that shot footage. Even if it was just the audience, I would love to have the footage. But that Keishi thing was always a bit of a mystery for us. We had a real hard time finding the opening act. And oddly enough, Johnny Rod, the bass player Wasp, was at that show. And he did an interview and happened to mention the name of the opening act.
Oh. Now, Jody, who's normally on the show with us, but I hope he's okay, to be honest with you. We haven't heard from him today. That he lives in St. Louis, and this is his big dream. He actually did an interview with one of the guys from Keishi. The guy went and picked Kiss up, and then, drove them to where they were going. And when he got home, the entire interview crashed. So he no longer has it. But and so it has become our like dream around here to find anything that we can find or meet anybody that's been there or say, you know what I mean? Just because that's such a, it seems like that was at, they played in the daylight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, about once, back then, about once a tour usually, maybe once every other tour, you'd get a daytime outdoor show out of Kiss. And that was the first one. And yeah, when I saw those pictures for the first time back in the late 80s, early 90s, they blew my mind that that existed, that that had happened.
Yeah, totally crazy.
And yeah, absolutely. But yeah, there's a section of the park there called Aviator Fields, and that's where Kiss played.
Sweet.
Hey, it's Paul Stanley here on Podcast Rock City.
One thing I take away from your book is when you flip to, I love all the little charts in the back, and one of them that lists all the opening acts, and looking at that, it really stuns me to take in the breadth of Kiss. And now the book itself is a testament to that. You flip through this and you see that many shows played all over the world over that many years. But as members of the Kiss Army, we take that part for granted. But in looking at that one chart, one day I was like glancing it over, and it hit me that like here's these bands like Redbone and Savoy Brown, right? That for all intents and purposes, I mean, I know some '70s rock enthusiasts will want to punch me for saying this, but forgotten, you know, bands that even people who dig obscure stuff might probably don't know anymore. And then sitting alongside them in that same list are bands like Rammstein, and which couldn't be further removed from each other. But sure. Kiss has spanned those two periods of time and in between. And, you know, given that the book, you know, cuts off at 15 years ago at this point, and beyond, I mean, to where, you know, Rammstein's not shocking anymore, you know, so it really drives home the, I don't want to call Kiss an institution, but in a way, I mean, that it's this thing that's existed for so long, and really, been associated with so many different things that it's seen whole ways of life and types of taste and genres of music just come and go as Kiss remains this incredible constant. And it was such a testament to that I can't remember when that was, but in spending time with the book, that hit me one day and looking at that chart that just how prevalent the band's been for so long.
Well, thank you. And until you just said that, it never dawned on me that that would be something that would come out of that when we put that together. But yeah, no, thank you for saying that. I agree. And one thing I can add to that is doing the research on microfilm in these libraries for years and years and looking at, say, a newspaper from 1974 or 75, it became very quickly, it became apparent that Kiss were unique in the sense that if you look at all the other bands that were on tour or all the other things that were going on at that time, and then you went up to like 1997 or 1998, wherever we were in the research at that point, none of those bands or very few of those bands were still around in any capacity. And so it was just a monument to Kiss's staying power. It was unbelievable that they had been able to pull this off and kind of ride the tide, so to speak, of all the different changing taste in pop culture and come out on top.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you that maybe the second or third episode I ever did of this show was all about, it was just called Kiss. I called it like a Stochistics. That's what I called it. And it was all the stuff in the back of your book. And I was like blown. I'm a big Queensryche fan. I was blown away how many times they opened for Kiss. I couldn't believe Queensryche got on stage before Kiss. It just didn't, it doesn't feel like it would fit, but I guess in the long run it does.
It does. And yeah, it's funny. I mean, Kiss would be on the same bill with Billy Preston. I mean, it just made things that made no sense whatsoever. Right. So it was funny to see how things changed from the early 70s, you know, up through even by the late 70s, early 80s, there had been a drastic difference in the way the bills were constructed.
Absolutely.
Kurt, any chance you have video of November 27th, 28th, 29th, 84, Mark St. John hidden under your mattress or something?
Well, I wish. Now, I've always wanted to do a search of the news stations and see if somebody has something. At that point, Kiss were inviting press out every night to come and do a pre-show interview and shoot the first, you know, 60 seconds of the first song or shoot the first song, whatever. There's footage from Winnipeg. There's footage from, I want to say, Buffalo on the news. But the three shows that Mark did, nothing's ever popped up from those three shows. So I've always wanted to do a search, and I have a feeling that one of those three stations probably covered one of those shows at least once. You know, we had at that point we would have had three affiliates in three different markets. So you've got basically nine chances to see if somebody had that. And at some point, I'll get off my butt and go do that search because I would love to have a few seconds of Kiss on stage with Mark St. John.
Oh man, wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, and you know the strange. Does it ever bug any? I mean, I know we've talked about it, but you know, didn't Paul say in his book that he never got on stage with them? That's, you know, we always go back to your book and go, no, right here. It's
yeah, you know, in all fairness to the guys, they were so busy living their life that they weren't paying attention to it. And they certainly weren't, you know, other than Gene somewhat, they really weren't trying to archive anything. So, you know, what they remember, I'm sure, is, you know, 1/1000th of what happened. And for them to get stuff wrong and not know what songs are on which album or whatever, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, yeah, I'm never surprised by that part either. And now when you put it like that, you start to think about it and go, you know, it's hundreds and hundreds of shows, and eventually, you know, they start to blur together. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this week, man. We're close, and I'm excited because we're all obviously going to get to see each other and hang out. I mean, we're talking now, and in just a few days, we're going to be standing in front of you going, dude, we were just talking, you know.
Right.
It's so strange. I can tell you, look, and the amazing thing is that Sonny, who I've been doing this show with for quite a few months now, you know, we all wound up meeting for the first time, and even Jody, I met for the first time. We did this thing called the Rockin' Pod Expo in Tennessee, and we all made sure we've all met before. And Brent and I were we met on the Kiss Cruise in November. So, you know, by the time I meet you, I'll have met you. Actually, this will be my second time. I'll have met you the same amount of times I've met Sonny. So it's really,
wow.
It's really strange the way this all works out. But what I'm getting at is you know, when you get to this expo, what are you expecting? What do you think is going to happen? You know, I know that by now you have been, you know, told this is what Vinny's going to be there. You know, he will be there. This is what's going to happen. You know, but you see all these people that are like, it's almost like they're taking bets on under over whether or not he really shows up. You know, what do you think is going to happen? How do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think there's no question that Vinny's going to show up. To say that, you're very uninformed if you would say otherwise, because that's just not going to happen.
Right.
He will be there. There's not a doubt in my mind on that.
Right. I feel the same way, just for the record.
Right, right. But yeah, there's definitely been some naysayers that have been very vocal about the fact that they, you know, they're on the fence as to whether or not the Vinny will actually be able to come through and show up. But there's way too much money on the line for him not to show up. So, you know, I don't see that happening. Eddie Trunk will be broadcasting his live Sirius XM show on the Volume Channel on Friday, live from the Expo. I'm hoping he'll be able to have Vinny on as a guest for a few minutes, but it's going to be at the same time as the meet and greet. So I don't know if there's going to be able to be a break or something, or if that's going to be possible. But I'm excited. I love Keel. I love Vinny Vincent Invasion. Robert Fleischman, the lead singer on the first Vinny Vincent Invasion record, is going to be there. I'm excited to meet him for the first time.
Right.
I've actually been interviewing Ron Keel this year for another article I did for, what is the magazine? Rock Candy Magazine. Him and I are both looking forward to meeting and being there. I guess Bruce Kulick's going to be there. Carmine Appice's going to be there. Or not Bruce Kulick, but Bob Kulick.
Bob, yeah.
I'm excited.
You know, this is I'm excited too. Everybody knows because they listen to the show that I was at the expo he did in Atlanta where he came out in makeup, and that's almost it's legendary, you know, because Gene and Paul sent him a cease and desist, you know, order. And I'm so excited about, because it's like, there's a lot of unknown. I do not believe he's not going to show up. I think he's ready. I think he's ready to do this. But I think what he's going to say, and, you know, and that's the, for me, I'm more excited about sitting in this Q&A than I am anything else. I mean, you're going to be there on Friday more as a fan than an author, aren't you?
Well, no, we have a table set up on Friday as well, so I'll be there in both capacities.
Right, but I mean, like, it's riveting, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm even bringing my 5-year-old son with me.
Oh,
he's
wow.
A huge, huge Kiss fan, believe it or not, and he is super excited that he's going to get to meet Vinny Vincent. It'll be his third Kiss member that he's met, so he's very excited.
Oh, cool. Who were the first two?
Gene and Peter.
Oh, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's
really
making the rounds.
Yeah, that is really awesome. Sonny.
So you had mentioned on an interview a couple of years ago now, that you might have been involved in Kissology 4. Is that true?
Absolutely. I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life during one of the worst years in U.S. history. In May 2008, at least I didn't know about the housing crisis yet or the economy crashing. It hadn't really quite hit. It was more like at the end of summer when all this really started becoming readily apparent. So in May of 2008, I get a call one day from Alex Coletti, who was the producer, and saying, we're doing Kissology 4. We want to get this, and this from you. I don't even remember what it was now. But it was three things. And they said, we'll pay you $65,000. And I said, hold on a second. I added up the math. And I looked at the math, and I realized they were undercutting me a little bit, and that $75,000 would have been the better deal, or more accurate deal. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I want $75,000. They said, okay. This was on a Friday. And they said, okay, we'll take the weekend and think about it, and we'll call you back on Monday. I said, okay, great. Well, Monday comes, I don't hear anything. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday, nothing. Finally, on Friday, I call them and say, hey, what are we waiting on? Oh, we've canceled the whole project.
Oh,
and
wow.
If I would have just taken that $65,000 and maybe even gotten that out of petty cash or something,
right.
You know, that I would have been, you know, the Kissology 4 probably would have happened once they paid me.
Oh.
So I don't know, but yeah, I know that that was, you know, that was a big blunder on my part.
Oh, well, we'll have to just deal with you when we see you. And this week, no, I'm kidding. I still have faith that that's going
to
come out.
I can tell you this: it was absolutely done and finished. Down to the artwork was done. Everything was done. I think they were shopping it and just couldn't find the right deal. There, with them, it's all about an advance, and they want to get an advance, a very large advance, and then you know, somebody else can go and take the risk. And I guess the sales have been strong enough that they produced it in-house, they did the artwork in-house, they had it ready to go. And I don't know if it was the you know, the 2008 economy or the declining DVD sales market or what would have happened. But yeah, it just for one reason or another, it just never materialized yet. And I think if it does come out, I don't think it would be Kissology 4. I would imagine it would be an entire new series at this point.
Wow.
Speaking of that Kissology 4, so at the time that was, it was all the reunion era stuff was what was covered in it?
No, I think it was actually post-reunion up through the present, but the bonus disc was going to be, you know, all 70s stuff and the 80s stuff.
Oh, crap. That would have been great to have. Okay, well, yeah, I think it's been so long since that series became defunct, that's a good way of looking at it. It would probably just be a new piece of maybe some further releases or something.
Well,
you know, and Kurt, I also wanted to say sort of thank you for helping me fill in a lot of gaps in my own experiences, because my first Kiss shows, I was, you know, 7 and 9 years old, and going to see Kiss in the mid and late 70s as a very young kid. And I really didn't have much experience. I actually had almost no experience. The first concert I went to, and it was more, my memories are more like an emotional resonance and some visual memories, but just having very little, you know, being taken by a friend's older sister to a show. You know, having almost no data of, like, I really don't know the exact date that was, or I'm pretty sure of the venue, but maybe I'm conflating that with another memory and whatever. So having your book allowed me to fill in those times, and actually also some details from my concert going, even though I at that point was saving a lot of ticket stubs and stuff, from the 80s, from the non-makeup era, when I was in college and had kind of stepped back from Kiss, but was still going to the shows. And but at that point I was living in New England and traveling all around, and I might see Kiss 2 or 3 times on a tour, because the shows were so close together, and not having really the best memory of exactly where and when with all those details. And it's you know, been a great tool to allow me to claim, oh yes, I know what I did, when I only halfway remember, but with your book I can remember all the way.
I bet you get that a lot, don't you, Kurt?
I do, and yeah, that's part of the magic of doing a reference book. I remember going out to eat with my cousin's spouse at a book to celebrate the book launch with my family, and my cousin's spouse had been at the Lubbock Alive 2 show, and so she didn't know when and where it was. And I remember her looking it up and seeing, you know, oh, this is it, that's the show I was at, I can't believe it, you know, and looking at the attendance figure and getting excited that she was one of those people. So yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that must have been cool to see her face, because I know, I think about that, I'm like, man, whoever put all this work into this, and you look at the book for 1 minute and it's evident how much effort went into it, you're like, man, if they could see, like, my smile right now going, oh, hell yeah, that was my first Kiss show right there, you know, that's a cool thing. So that's awesome. You got to actually experience that, to see her light up seeing that entry.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great.
I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you. You've made me a little bit of money, and I probably need to buy you adult beverage if we get the opportunity. But there's been times similar to Brent, where I went to back-to-back shows. I was living in the Bay Area, so I would go see him in, let's say, Sacramento, and then the next day see him in San Francisco. And, you know, later on in life, when you're hanging out with your friends that you might have went these shows with, and I remember distinctly this conversation with one of my friends about they played Reason to Live at the Crazy Nice show in Sac, but then they didn't play it in San Francisco. And, I'll bet you $50. And at the time, I don't remember getting my money, but when I bought this book and found out it was right, I got my money.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah. So,
so funny.
It's just, I mean, this book could get me divorced. I mean, I could get it. There's just so much minutiae in this book for guys like Brent and I that like that kind of stuff that you could get lost in this thing for days.
A friend of mine's a doctor of music, and he told me that the work was actually enough to get a doctorate-level degree.
Well, I think you should. We'll go ahead and start calling you Dr. Kurt, and I like that idea. Dr. Gooch.
I like it.
You know, one of the things, you know, and I know I don't know how long you got for us. We're keeping you. I feel like we're keeping you kind of long, but
no, I'm fine.
One of the things that I always remembered, you know, thumbing through the book was, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm correct because somebody will correct me, and hopefully it'll just be you. But was it in Tennessee where the car accident happened that was the inspiration for Detroit Rock City, or am I just remembering wrong?
No, that's definitely not in our book. Here's what I can tell you. I am about 99% certain that there was no fan that died that inspired Detroit Rock City. I think that's just folklore. I've done more Kiss research than anybody I know except for Jeff, and I just don't... We've never come across any kind of article, and... If somebody had died on their way to a show or from a show and there had been some sort of association with that in the press, we would have found that article by now. You know, I'm pretty sure we would have found it. So I'll be shocked if that ever comes to pass. But, I just don't think that ever really happened.
God, now I wish I knew where I read that. That's going to drive me crazy. So let's say now I haven't gotten all the details yet about the Q&A that's happening on Friday, and you'll be there. If we get to ask questions, what would you ask Vinny, if you had the opportunity to ask him a question?
Vinny has stated in the past that he has a library of soundboard recordings from Creatures and Lick It Up, and I would ask him if that were true. That's the number one thing I would like to know.
Man, that would be so cool to hear. There's so much, you know. I would venture to say that on this show, the thing that we talk about, well, not all of us, but we love seeing like the Winterland show because it's so early and they're so hungry, you know. In all the footage that you've seen and all the stuff that you've seen, have you seen more stuff like that where you were like, oh, yeah, man, this is when, you know, because you watch that Winterland show and they want it so bad, you know?
You guys will see on Saturday, the last half of our Q&A is going to be the promo film. And we have some unbelievable 16mm footage that we found from the Las Vegas show. And you'll see on there. I mean, they were very, very hungry.
And that's awesome. I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be amazing. We're excited for a number of reasons besides we all get to see each other again. But, you know, the fact that we're going to get to, you know, a Kiss Expo all together with Vinnie Vincent. There hasn't been one in Atlanta in probably 5 years or more, I think. Maybe more like 7 years. So... this is going to be really, really huge. I keep telling everybody out there, be prepared, you know, to be standing in a crowd because, you know, Atlanta is a big Kiss area, and I'm just saying this is going to be bigger than I think the promoter thinks it is. And I really do. Vinnie Vincent, you know, just puts that cherry on top. Even if he wasn't going to be there, and it would still be huge because it's been so many years.
Right.
So, Sonny, you got any more questions?
Two quick ones. What do you think about, do you want a new Kiss album? And what do you think about these Gene the Vault experiences that are happening now?
For some reason, I just never got into Sonic Boom or Monster or any of that. I was out of Kiss for about 15 years, and it was my son that actually got me back into it, which happened just about maybe 2 years ago. Sonic Boom and Monster, other than maybe the singles, I wouldn't know any of those songs. So to hear more new songs at a Kiss concert, I could personally care less. I want to hear more deep cuts at a Kiss concert or some kind of happy medium where diehards and the kind of Johnny Come Lately fans could both be pleased at a concert. You know, if the Rolling Stones can do it, why can't Kiss? I would be much more concerned with getting three or four deep cuts into the set list every night than hearing new songs.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, what was the other question?
The Vault experiences. What do you think about Gene doing that?
Yeah, I think it's really unique. It's really cool. My good friend did the art direction on that, and I've been hearing little drips and drabs over the years, or the past year, about how it's coming along, and it's just been amazing. The first one just happened in L.A., and I've seen a lot of the video and stuff, and I have a feeling that's probably going to be the best one because of the special guests they were able to bring in. I don't think that's going to be happening, in every market, but I was blown away. I just couldn't believe that they were doing this. You got to experience something kind of one-on-one on that level. I heard the event lasted 8 hours.
Yeah, Sonny was there. Sonny was there at it. Most of the footage you've seen probably was filmed by him.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I agree. It's unique. I'm actually looking forward to possibly some of these other bands doing the same thing. There'd be some I would be interested in and some not, but it's definitely something unique.
There's no question about it. And I think I'm going to probably wind up doing the Dallas one and taking my son with me. And I can't wait to see what happens. But the fact that that Ace was there and they were attempting Life in the Woods, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I will tell you that we have talked to Keith Valcourt, and he said that they are trying to get guests at every location. Who they'll be, is one thing. Whether or not it'll be Ace, or I doubt it, but he basically told us they're trying to get anybody famous they know to show up and jam with Gene. So if you're going to Dallas, who knows who you could run into that lives, there.
Right.
Which would be really cool.
I'm not famous and I won't be jamming with Gene, but I will be there. So at least we'll have fun.
Oh, I did not know the Vault. You bought the Vault too?
Yeah, I'll be in Dallas.
Holy mackerel. So.
Yep.
I feel like I'm the only one. I'm the only one left out. I'm gonna have to do something about this.
You're gonna get one. Don't you worry. It's gonna
happen. We'll wait and see.
I got eight.
Anyway, all right. Listen, Kurt, man, we really appreciate you being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. And what a perfect time. I mean, I hope we can see everybody in Atlanta. And I know personally, there are people flying in from Australia, Japan, Sweden, Norway. Some guys coming in from Rio. This is going to be a big, big deal. If you are a Kiss fan and you are anywhere near Atlanta, you've really got to make an extra effort to come and try to get to this thing. It's going to be just amazing.
It's going to be amazing. And it'll be, and I've been to all but one of the Kiss cons that have been here in Atlanta. Fan done. Not when the Kiss, they did their... their convention tour. I didn't get to go that because I had to have surgery. Poor Joe. But they're always really big and they're always a lot of fun. And And, man, I can't wait to meet everybody. I can't wait to meet you, Kurt, and I can't wait to see everybody. And it's just going to be so much fun. And I think we're really going to be blown away. I think by the end of this, we're going to need a full week to, like, process what we've seen.
Yeah, no question about it. It's really going to be amazing. And I'm looking – I've never met John Hart, so I'm looking forward to meeting him and hearing about his upcoming book. And I don't know if you guys know who Ross Radley is, but – he's the guy that's doing this Magic, the Kiss Chronicles book.
Right, right.
And he's going to be there displaying pages and layouts and stuff so people can get an idea what that's going to look like. So I'm really looking forward to just experiencing this and meeting all a bunch of people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Kurt. We appreciate you being here. Like I said, man, this weekend coming up is going to be amazing and so much fun. And, you know, the one thing that I've had nightmares about not having enough money while I'm in this building to purchase everything that I want to purchase because I'm so fearful that I'm not going to get another KISS convention in Atlanta and have the opportunity to see some of the stuff that's going to be here. You guys make sure if you're at the convention, make your way over to the KISS Alive Forever booth. Make sure you purchase one. Get one of the books. This is it. Maybe 70 left, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Definitely 40 or 50.
Yes.
Okay. Make sure you get one. I'm going to be there like, hello, here's my money. It's like, take care of this. I need it now. And then I can put this one in the bag, right, Brent?
Yes, indeed. It's going to probably end up getting, because I'm going to do a page-by-page comparison and find all these little corrections here. This will be a
Just look, Brent has that kind of time on his hands, so it just works. It's amazing how that works out. Thank you very much, Kurt. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. I had so much fun. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Podcast Rock City.
Yeah!
If it's too loud, you're too old.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. I know we did. And don't forget, man, just in a couple of days now, we're going to all be in Atlanta. We're going to be chilling out. We're going to be, you know, all talking KISS for, you know, 10 hours. And make sure you come over and say hi to all of us. It'll be me. It'll be Sonny, Jody, Brent. We're going to have our buddy Kevin with us. We're also going to have the Decibel Geeks guys with us at our booth. They'll probably be floating back and forth between Sonny's other show's booth and our booth just because there's going to be so many of us. I guess that's pretty much it. The news, you know, if you listen to the last show, you got the headline news from us. And so, man, we'll have more news coming up. We're also going to be hanging out on Friday night, a group of us. Unfortunately, Brent won't be in town yet. He has things to do, important things. But we're going to probably put together a big show about we're going to have a Gene Simmons vault listening party at my girlfriend's house. And she has kindly let us use her home, so we can all get together and listen to this, or at least some of it. And so you'll get a show where we're all talking about what it was like to hear these for the first time. Brent, do you have anything to add?
Just double up on PRC family, friends, and listeners. Come on over and say hello. I can't wait to meet everybody, and we're going to, as Joe said, have some cool giveaways and stuff, and really looking forward to the expo.
Absolutely. Sonny?
It's been a crazy 7 days between the videos, and then we did the show, and then I've done some album reviews for the initial discs of the vault, and just hearing from the KISS Army and the PRC fans that I've not heard from before, just a lot of love, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, Gene Simmons retweeted your tweet.
Yeah. That picture of me and Danny? Yeah.
Well, I think he retweeted your reviews as well.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that part.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So make sure you check that out, because that means he read it and liked it.
Those reviews are a great read and a real nice dissection of the material without giving too much away. So I'll hand it to you, Sonny. That was nicely done.
Yeah, I agree. And I will also say that I was talking to Sonny before the show. And for those of us that have not heard the Van Halen stuff, what was your exact quote, Sonny?
It's incredible.
Oh, God.
It is incredible.
Okay, so bring headphones to the expo so Brent can listen to the Van Halen stuff at least. And
yeah. And I'll give you a little snippet too, like that whole story of the Christine 16 solo and Gene made Ace do every note. That is true.
Wow.
And there's Got Love for Sale. Van Halen did Got Love for Sale. There is absolutely no way, even if Gene wanted to, even with the great Ace solo he put on Love Gun, that he matched what Eddie did on the dump.
Okay, now I'm really excited. That's pretty awesome.
We're going to light some fires there, Sonny. Be careful.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you guys know what I'm going to say. Besides the fact that I can't wait to see you all this weekend, we love KISS podcasts, and we listen to tons of podcasts, but mostly KISS. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we listen to right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
KISS!
It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f***. Oh, f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
KISS Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theory. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
All right, KISS Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podkissed. The KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podkissed. Every month, the podkissed crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere and that's just fine.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.